Welcome to You Talking to Me, the radio show where your host, Big JD, talks to a different guest every week on a variety of subjects. That's the You Talking to Me show, and now here he is, your host, Big JD.
That's right, you're listening to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Special show for you today. Growing up the son of one of the funniest men in America could certainly have its ups and downs, just like about any kid in a showbiz family, but eventually you'd have to give in to the fact that your father is one of the funniest guys in show business and probably all the world, especially when all the world's a stooge. When your uncles are none other than Shemp and Curly, there's no getting away from growing up in a whole other place altogether. I now introduce to you Paul Howard, the son of Mo from the Three Stooges. Paul, how are you?
I'm fine, Big JD. I'm looking forward to this interview, and, you know, I have a lot of wonder and respect for my father and my uncles and Larry, who, of course, was not related.
Absolutely. And speaking of your father, you know, everybody called him Mo. His real name was Moses, was it not?
That's correct.
Yeah.
His name was Moses Harry Horwitz. And interestingly, with the first names, and of course, this everything I tell you is through my eyes. I never heard the name Moses. My father called him Moses or Harry. My uncle Curly, you know, never heard Jerry or Jerome.
Right.
It was just Curly. Shemp is interesting because, you know, his real name was Sam, or Samuel, which I never heard anybody address him that way. The reason, the way he got the name Shemp was when they were little kids playing in the streets, their mother, who, you know, came from northern Europe, mm-hmm. had a heavy accent. And when it was time for dinner, she would open the window and yell when the kids were playing. She would say, "Shemp, Shemp," saying Sam, but it was coming out Shemp.
Right.
Shemp, come for dinner. And so all the kids just started calling him Shemp, and it stayed that way for the rest of his life.
So were you calling him Uncle Shemp?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because that was one of the questions I had. Were you calling him Uncle Shemp, Uncle Curly? They weren't actually by their real names then.
And it was Uncle Shemp, Uncle mm-hmm. Curly. My father used to call him Curly, but then Shemp's wife's nickname was Babe. And so when she came into the family as Shemp's wife, she took precedent, and everybody continued to call her Babe. My father always called him Babe mm-hmm. because he was the baby of five brothers.
Right.
But then he shifted it to Curly.
Okay.
And that's how my father addressed him, you know, for most of his life.
So did you, you know, when you were growing up, did you really comprehend the name change thing, or did you not really pay much attention to it?
I was not really that aware of it. You know, in terms of the name change, it's interesting. In my safe deposit box, along with, you know, personal little family items, we actually have a document that when I was 10 years old, the family name was officially changed from Horwitz to Howard.
Right, okay.
And except for my, the oldest of five brothers, Irving, he never changed his last name, and he did pass away as a relatively young man. So you have four brothers with the name Howard, and that one oldest brother who just remained Irving Horwitz until his passing.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, the other brothers, they weren't involved in show business, Jack and Irving. How did they feel about their brothers in show business? Were they, you know, really into it? Did they, you know, go watch them and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know about Irving, but Jack, the second oldest brother, it was Irving, Jack, Shemp, Mo, and then Curly Babe, the baby.
Mm-hmm.
They all respected and, you know, just thought it was just terrific. My Uncle Jack was very close to my father. He was in the insurance business, as was Irving.
Right.
And according to their mother, the two insurance older brothers were the real professionals, the ones with sense, mm-hmm. who she respected in a business way. I guess she finally gave in many years later when they became world famous to, you know, say, oh, yeah, I guess they are pretty good in
sure.
terms of their career.
And I read as you were growing up, you know, as you got a little older, you had a hard time accepting who your dad was. Can you explain that?
Yeah, certainly. I just happened to be very insecure. I didn't know whether my friends were coming over to see me to play or see my father.
Right, okay.
And in fact, during my younger years, if somebody asked me, hey, Paul, what does your dad do for a living? I'd say, he's a meter reader for Pacific Gas and Electric. Because that, to me, was a normal, you know, career that a father would have.
Right, right.
And, you know, I'm not ashamed. I had, you know, I took a lot of psychotherapy to straighten my head out. And what was denial through a good part of my life, who my father was, you know, came to be celebration. And I now, you know, go all over a lot of the country and I show old family films and old family slides and tell stories what it was like growing up with the Stooges. And it's a thrill for me to be the go-between, so to speak, between the Stooges and the fans, as is my sister, of course.
Right. And I was going to ask you, too, your sister, how did she feel, you know, growing up as a daughter of a Stooge? Was she a little more accepting than you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
My sister was 8 years older than I. Actually lived through kind of a different era in relation to the Stooges. She actually was in a few movies. She had a bit part in a movie with Humphrey Bogart. She had a bit part in a movie as a little girl, you know, like
right.
maybe 3-4 years old, with the famous child actress Shirley Temple.
Wow.
She didn't have the same pressure in those developmental days. You know, it was always a sense of the son would follow in the father's footsteps, maybe even better him,
right.
Like some actors and actresses have done. But what happens to the little kid who looks at his father, who's already world famous? How do you better that?
That's right.
So there was a sense of me, of you know, looking at my father and looking at my life, and having to deal with the reality of being in showbiz and being potentially famous or not. And gratefully, it's perfectly okay who I am.
Yeah, and I know it's changed a big deal for you, and as well, I want to get into a little bit of the fan club down the line here, but about your dad, was he different outside of show business?
My father, let me just see, for example, he never hit anybody in the family. I mean, he respected, you know, the decency of... Well, knowing that on camera, you know, obviously poked people for a living, and he never did that at home.
Right, not even by accident?
Well, that's another story. I mean, yeah, very quickly, his impatience in trying to teach me some arithmetic as a tutor, after I didn't get it, you know, the third or fourth time, his impatience, he just threw his hands up in total disgust that he couldn't communicate to me to help me, and his hand bounced off my shoulder, and
okay.
We were both horrified.
No poke in the eye, though.
None of that.
And your uncles, were they very different people off camera as well?
Well, my Uncle Shemp was a wonderful guy. He had great, really easygoing, great stories. He could tell. He related to kids just wonderfully. He was a real family man. My Uncle Curly, he was a very shy guy, actually, off camera. Genius on camera, but he would just, you know, we have some family films where you just see him at a barbecue. He's just laying on a chaise lounge with his favorite dog, you know, with his arm around the dog instead of, like, his arm around the person. He was a funny guy, but sometimes he would do something outrageous, but it was rare.
Mm-hmm.
We have some wonderful family films of him actually running down the diving board in a swimming pool, leaping up in the air over the end of the board and coming down on his behind, hitting the board, and then
yeah.
going up in the air again, landing on his face. It's hysterical. So that was typical Curly. But most of the times, he was just a very low-key guy.
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting points, I think, about Curly, because he's so zany that you can't hardly imagine him just being a regular guy. But it took me a little bit to realize that, I mean, Mo Howard's your dad, but then when you think that, you know, you don't think at first that Shemp is your uncle and Curly is your uncle.
Right.
It's just like it really is kind of fascinating, and I'm sure the stories are just incredible, you know, for everybody to hear, because they were, you know, such big part of everybody's life, really.
It's true. You know, it took me many years to really accept that and really take that in and understand it. I have some friends that sometimes, you know, when I act, you know, kind of dumbfounded or whatever it is, you know, they look me right in the eye and say, "Paul, you don't understand how famous your father and uncles are." And they go in and they kind of like lecture me.
Yeah.
And it's partially because it took me so many years to kind of, you know, digest that and take that fame in. And as I said, it, you know, now it's fun. And I certainly enjoy to talk to the fans.
Yeah. And it's great that you do. And, you know, that this information can, you know, still be put out there. And I know, I mean, it was such a huge thing for me growing up, and my dad, and probably, you know, just about everybody all over the world. But there wasn't a Sunday morning that we didn't have the TV in the kitchen eating bagels with the family watching the Three Stooges, you know. And I still find myself, you know, my dad's no longer with me, but I still find myself doing that today. And as well, it's you know, it not only a fun thing for me watching the Three Stooges, but I mean, it brings back memories of my dad as well. So,
I totally understand. You know, my father, it was two Mo's. It was Mo the actor,
yeah,
and Mo the father. They talked different. They looked different. They were so different.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a very thoughtful, low-key kind of person. Unless he was telling a joke at a barbecue, you know, in the backyard on Sunday afternoon or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it was a kind of a different type of Mo.
And did your dad like watching the Stooges? Do you know?
Oh yeah, I mean, I have this memory of we had a routine every birthday. I would have a wonderful little party in my backyard, bring my friends over. Then afterwards, we would watch some family films and watch one or two Stooges films. And then we'd go off and do other. We'd go to the amusement park and go out to dinner. It was just a wonderful day that I look forward to. But when we were watching the Stooges films, it was amazing because my father would be sitting behind me, and I'm watching him on the screen.
Right.
And then just before he delivers a line on the screen, he would deliver that line just sitting there, even though that film might have been shot 8 years before.
Yeah.
It was like the sound was off sync. You know, you'll hear on the stage, "Wow, I'll give you such a smack." And then a second later, you'd hear on the screen. He would say it, then you'd hear it on the screen. He never forgot his lines.
Right.
And he had a photographic memory, which is wonderful, meaning he could sit down for one or two nights and he would memorize all his lines. He would sit in bed before he'd go to sleep with a script in his hand, my mother reading her book and him reading his script. And he memorized everybody, his lines, all and all the cues,
you know,
leading up to his lines.
It's hard to believe that he wasn't like that off camera, just because he was, it seemed like that was him. You know, he was so natural at what he did. And,
right. I mean, he was, you know, he was an actor. He, unlike the other Stooges, you know, he had a lot of formal training. He spent 2 or 3 years in a Mississippi riverboat with a repertory company, playing all different parts, dramatic roles, comedy roles. He learned the other aspects of the craft of stage acting, not just acting, but a little bit of directing and other related skills.
Uh-huh.
And then he would sit up in the balcony. He would quit school. He would play hooky sometimes, sit up on the balcony at a local theatrical production and take the part of one of the actors.
Yep.
And study that actor all the way through. So he had, in a sense, per those days, a kind of a formal actor's training, whereas the others, Curly was just an instinctive genius. And also, in another way, Larry, you know, had his own individualized talent.
Yeah, I want to ask you about Larry. What was his relationship like to your family, actually? Any of the kids?
He was pretty close to the family. Curly and Shemp lived about two blocks away from us.
Oh, really?
Larry lived maybe 20, 25 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And as a young kid, I used to go over. We'd go over to Curly's house, Larry's house, or Larry would come over. My father and mother loved to have, you know, little barbecues. Larry would be there. No showbiz people.
Right.
The only person in showbiz was this guy, the Dead End Kids or the Bowery Boys.
Oh, yeah.
The guy Glimpy. Remember? Hunt
yep.
Hall.
Absolutely.
He and his wife, Elsie, would be in the backyard now and then. They were very close to Shemp. But, yeah, they would gather in the backyard, and it was like anybody else's backyard. We had a beautiful home. But, you know, what went on in the backyard was, you know, basically normal, basically all-American. My father, in order to calm himself, he would either be planting in the garden or be behind a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great cook, and he loved barbecuing. That was his restorative environment, what made him, you know, kind of happy when he was tense.
Now you mentioned, usually there would be no showbiz people there. Do you think that at that time that the showbiz people really realized, you know, what they had there in the Three Stooges? Or do you think, I mean, it's just a crazy phenomenon now, but I mean, do you think they really realized that at the time?
Well, you're moving into an area that I'm not that experienced in their careers. I never really...
I guess you were a kid through the...
I was just not interested. I spent many years... Philadelphia suburb convention. They have it's not a convention. It's just a fan club annual meeting. They have a reunion,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful. And there's so many hardcore fans that come from all over. Even one of them from Ontario.
Oh yeah.
In fact, two of them from Ontario. In any case, they really know the lives and the nuances and the ins and outs and nooks and crannies of the Stooges'
right.
careers. And that's where I go to get my Stooges education.
Yeah, I guess you're more on the inside. You mentioned the convention and so forth, the Three Stooges official fan club.
Right.
Yes. Where is that based?
It's in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. It's a suburb of Philadelphia that they have every spring. The date changes a little bit. And one of the wonderful things there is they have a Stooges museum there. If I tried to describe it, I couldn't do it justice. It's so incredible. Just to go there to see that is worth traveling to.
Sure. The name itself is fun. You call it the Stoogeum.
Right, Stoogeum. And, it's just wonderful to see that praise displayed, you know, upon the Stooges. And from my point of view, I never ceased, to be amazed, really.
Mm-hmm. And where can folks get more information on the fan club, or if they're interested in joining the fan club, perhaps, to get an application? Do we have the name of the website?
The email address is Gary, GARYSTOOGE, Gary Stooge at AOL.com. And if you go there, you can request a fan club application.
And you can go to www.stoogeum.com. That's STOOGEUM.com, Stoogeum. And there you can click on the link to the fan club, which is at the top of the page, and it'll take you right to a page where you can download the application to join the Three Stooges fan club. And I got to say, the Three Stooges journal that you get with your membership, in which I just received recently, and it's excellent. Well worth the price to join the fan club.
Yeah, it really is.
And Paul Howard, you do caricatures
yeah.
by Paul. We talk
I was in the advertising agency business as an art director for many years, and I got to a point a few years ago where I wanted to do something that I enjoyed more, and
uh-huh.
What I had done for a long time, but just, you know, on the side. And, I have a website which is Caricatures. That's not C-H, it's C-A-R-I-C-A-T-U-R-E-S by B-Y Paul, P-A-U-L. .com, of course, with the www in front.
Right.
And even people in Canada, wherever, you know, I can receive photographs and do caricatures for family, friends, and it'd be my pleasure to discuss it with you. And my email is Paul's, P-A-U-L-S, caricatures, C-A-R-I-C-A-T-U-R-E-S, at AOL.com.
And I can vouch myself that your work is excellent. I know I had you do a caricature for me of my father.
Yeah, well, it was a thrill to do that, and an honor to know that if I'm lucky, that will go on a wall somewhere.
I'll be sure to send you a photograph of it on my wall.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Because it's excellent, and I'm still waiting for the hard copy. And you know, it's just a great thing as a memory to my dad, and especially to have you do it. And also, I would like to add that it's great to be able to air this show talking to you about your father on Father's Day, actually, this year. So, and I know, I guess your dad's birthday is actually right around that time as well.
My father's birthday will be the 7th of this month, and he would have been 111. And you know, my birthday's in July.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it's just a kick to be able to chat with you and be able to share whatever is relevant and whatever is appreciated in the life of the Stooges. And I can't say enough about you know, your listeners, if they're interested in joining the club, to follow through on that. I think they won't be disappointed.
And you did give the email, GaryStooge@AOL.com, to request an application for that. And we have caricaturesbypaul.com. So if anybody's interested in that and having a caricature done, it's awesome. And what's next for you, Paul?
Well, I actually am writing an outline, a syllabus, or whatever you want to call it, to teach caricatures, you know, in continuing education or whatever. But it would be more than caricatures, but that would involve, it would include the skill of learning how to make a humorous likeness. And then the other part of my life is just the idea to my wife and I. Oh, I will say one other thing, which is kind of neat. My daughter is in show business also.
Okay.
So I like to say that fame will come to the Howard family in alternate generations.
Great.
And I am kind of half kidding. My daughter works for George Lucas of Star Wars fame.
Okay.
And she's liked there, and she does a great job, and I'm so proud of her.
Excellent. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We're on some constraints, so we're going to wrap things
up.
And I guess as far as your teaching caricatures, people will be able to find information on that when it becomes available on your website, caricaturesbypaul.com.
Right.
Thanks again, Paul. I really appreciate your time. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Well, Big JD, it's my pleasure, too. And, you know, I just, I'm thrilled to be able to share fans in your listening audience, to be able to share my family and my father.
Great, Paul. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. You talking to me. I'm your host, Big JD, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD. All shows copyright 2008 Big JD for the OMS Entertainment Group.